Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
All right, great to see everybody this morning. We're looking at Peter, and we're looking at an instance in his life, probably we're all familiar with. But we're going to look at it in the aspect of how Satan desires to sift us as wheat, but Jesus has prayed for us. So we want to remember both those aspects this morning, that we have an enemy that wants to destroy our faith, but we have a Savior who has prayed for us. Now, there's the, a lot of people who would like to live off the grid. Today, they talk about living off the grid and go out in the woods and get a cabin and all that and be so far away that Google can't even find you. And but how does that work for you when the electricity goes out? Usually after about 3 hours of no shower, no TV, you've had enough of off the grid living. But the idea is nice. Like, we want to get away from everything, get away from the grid, get away from all the noise, get away from all of everything that's, get disconnected and get away and where nobody can find us. But as we think about this in the physical realm of being connected and Google, you ever go to a place on Google Maps and you go to a place and it'll say, oh, you were here a year ago. Google knows more about me than I can even remember about me. But in the spiritual realm, the truth is you can never get disconnected from Satan's influence. He knows your weakness. He knows your habits. And he knows your steps. And he is looking for a way to trip you up. Your faith is always in danger. Your faith is always ready to be challenged. And as we go to this section, I'm probably, most of you are aware of the context of this is before Jesus is going to be crucified. He's in the garden. He's having the Last Supper with his disciples. He's encouraging them to pray. They fall asleep. And then Judas comes, betrays him. All his disciples flee. And in this couple of verses we read, Peter, though he knows something's going on, he's oblivious to what's really going on. He's like the husband that just said something, and he's smiling and thinking everything is okay. And he looks over at his wife, and he realizes something's really wrong. But Peter, and he's like, what did I say? That's Peter. He's in that oblivious stage. He thinks he's got it all figured out. Everything's good. But right around the corner, there's trouble. Right around the corner, there is this danger that he's fallen into, ready to fall into. And Jesus gives him a warning. Jesus comes to him and tells him that, hey, you're not okay. Something's up. You need to be aware. You need to be looking at what's going on. Notice verse 31. Which we read, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Now, this is an interesting, snippet from the scripture. This is an interesting thought. And there's a couple of things here. First of all, nothing happens in your life without God allowing it. But secondly, we see that Satan's desire is to make your faith a shipwreck. He wants to destroy your faith. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to trip you up. He wants you to fall. That's his goal. If you remember the book of Job, if some of you are doing the Bible plan with us, I think we did the book of Job last week, and there's this picture, there's this scene in heaven where Satan comes before God, and God says to Satan, "Have you seen my servant Job?" And Satan basically says, "Well, if you spoil him, of course he's going to serve you. Take everything he has and see what happens." And in verse 12, I didn't put all the verses, but Job chapter 1, verse 12, "And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." And we know what happened. Everything that Job had was taken. And yet, he did not curse God. And so the whole book is a story about Job defending himself. But the real purpose of the story was for Job to have a deeper understanding of who Jesus is. God had allowed this trial, and here's what we have to understand. When God allows temptation, trials, when he allows us to fall, it's for us to learn, or it's for us to grow. Now, have you ever taught a kid, one of your kids, to ride a bicycle? Anybody? Okay, good, thank you. I was going to say, we don't do bicycles anymore. Too dangerous, yes, too dangerous. Now, when you teach one of your children, I want to say especially girls, but I shouldn't say that. But anyways, are they going to fall? They're going to fall. Will they scrape their knee? Is that bad? Are you a terrible parent because your child scraped their knee? No, not necessarily, unless you didn't push him down or yell at him and get frustrated. No, there's that process of learning. And there's some things you allow, even with your children, so they learn. And this is kind of the same thing here, that Jesus could have said no, but he didn't. Because Peter was setting himself up for a fall, and he had no idea what was going on. And what we have to understand in the making of a disciple, when God wants to make a disciple, what he wants to do is change our heart. You see, we're satisfied with just changing our actions. That's not as hard to do. All right, I come to church, I do this, I do that. And we're changing our actions and we're doing those actions, but that's not what God fully wants. He wants your heart. And changing our heart is difficult. Our heart is very crafty. Our heart is very sensitive. Our heart can be very stubborn, can be very wishy-washy. Our heart is not an easy, it's not easy to be influenced and changed. That's what God's looking for. David said this in Psalm 26:2 when he says, "Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my mind and my heart." Now, think of Peter when Jesus is saying to Peter, "Peter, Satan's got a plan." Think if Peter would have just said, "Lord, maybe you're right. What am I doing wrong?" Maybe Peter would have been praying instead of sleeping. Maybe Peter would have been a little bit more self-examination instead of getting his sword ready. You see, Peter had these plans. He was busy with his plans. He knew what he was going to do. Remember, in his mind, Jesus is going to be crowned king. He's still holding off for this moment. And so as this betrayal's coming, Peter's still thinking in his mind, this is the time. And he had his sword ready, and he had his plan ready. And Jesus is saying, Peter, Peter, Satan wants to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you that he won't destroy your faith. And it went in one ear and out the other ear. And he did not comprehend it because he was not listening to God. Now, this sifting as wheat, what is this? We're not wheat farmers today, but the grain is inside, and the grain has to be sifted, has to be beaten. It has to be put through a sieve. You have to expose the grain. You have to separate the impurities. So it is a process. It's actually kind of a violent process for the stalk to be crushed, to be beaten, and for the impurities to come out and the grain to be revealed. I guess I could simplify it for us to understand it maybe. The grain needs to be beaten. Sometimes we need a beating from God. Some of us understand that, amen. That's a simple way. And I know that's like hard in our minds today because we're so like sensitive to anything that's negative, but it's true. Sometimes we need a beating. Sometimes we need to be challenged and for our heart to stop and be ready for change. Sometimes there has to be a radical confrontation. There has to be this event that happens that breaks us. And it could seem like a cruel process, but the truth is it is a good process because it exposes the grain, exposes the fruit. And so in our lives, this beating from God, if you will, it's not harsh that God allows it. Because, as he says later in Peter, the trying of our faith is much more precious than gold. This process of purifying is not bad, it's actually good. It's actually what we need. It's actually times that we really need to stop and examine ourselves. Like David said, try me, search me, O Lord. Do we ever just stop? I think sometimes we're comfortable with all the noise. We're in a generation, if we come home and sit down, what's the first thing we want to do? Turn on the TV. Turn on some music. There's got to be noise. It's almost like we avoid the quiet today. Like the quiet is, like maybe I'll actually have to think about something. And the idea of what I'm saying is there introspection and self-examination actually is good. It helps us. It slows us down. It helps us from rushing and making rash decisions. It helps us from being impulsive. That's where Peter was. He was impulsive. And he was going to make a very harsh and rash decision. And so, three areas in which Satan wants to sift us this morning. Three areas in which Satan wants to sift us from the scriptures. The first one is self-deception. Now, there are a lot of scams today. There was one recently in my email. I got from Kohl's, from Walmart, from Best Buy, that I had a package ready to be delivered. Or the bank will call because they forgot your social security number. You got to help them out. We live in a world of scams. But you know what the worst scam is? When we're self-deceived. When we're our own worst hacker. Notice what Peter said. Now, Jesus said to Peter, maybe you better watch out because Satan has asked about you and he wants to trip you up. Verse 33. But he said to him, Peter said to Jesus, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. I am ready to go to prison, go to death. He didn't say, Lord, you think I'm ready? Lord, pray for me to be ready. He didn't say, Lord, show me if I'm not ready. What are you talking about? No, he didn't even register it. Lord, I'm ready. I got it all figured out. Proverbs 29:23 says this, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Now, I confess this morning, sadly, that I've often fallen to self-deception, overconfidence, and pride. And even though we know this in our head, when we're in the moment of self-confidence and self-deception, it's like if we would just stop and say, examine me, O Lord. Try my heart. Examine me. Now, Paul understood this. Paul is a great example of one that didn't fall into the trap of self-deception. And we see this today, I think, because of popular Christianity or the allure of fame, even in the church. And we've seen so many Christian leaders fall. Where did it start? It started with self-deception. Start with thinking better about themselves. And the NLT explains it like this, Romans 12:3, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Don't think you're better than you really are. And in the context, he's going to be talking about gifts, but God has given everybody a different gift. And if God has given you a gift to do something well, do it well for the glory of God. But don't think you're better than somebody that doesn't have your gift. Don't think that you're superior, because we're all saved by the grace of God. We're all saved by Jesus. We're not saved because we use a gift. So there's always that temptation. Now, was Peter gifted? He certainly was. And when you look at Peter, many of the mistakes he made was because he had the courage to have some initiative. And so these are not like Jesus is down on Peter. Jesus is teaching Peter. Jesus has guided Peter because Peter has a lot of, there was no guile in Peter here. There was no like Peter was bad because of this. He's just showing us that hey, he was self-deceived in this area. He was looking at his, he was just being blind. Not that Peter was bad. Not that he wasn't sincere. He says, don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Who's the measure? God's the measure, not other people. So God's the measure. And That's, I think, how Paul kept that understanding. But even in his own life, God gave him a sickness that he prayed, and God did not heal him. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, God allowed this sickness in Paul's life to keep him humble, because pride is a lot more destructive than we think. And Proverbs tells us that God hates pride. Satan, he fell because of pride. He wanted to lift up above God. And everything he does and tempts us with is to lift ourselves above God and put ourselves above God and above God's laws and above God's standards and think that we can do it without God. And kind of what you see in Peter, what's happening here, he's like, Jesus is telling him one thing and he's doing another thing. And so Jesus allows him to fall on his face, if you will. So self-deception is one area Satan tempts us. Another one is fear of circumstances. Fear of circumstances. And I won't get into the whole passage, but there is a passage. Again, we have this passage because Peter had some faith here. They were out on the boat, and there was a storm, and Jesus came walking in the water. And Peter was the only one. What did he say? He said, that looks cool. I want to do that too. That was before we had, jet skis and all that stuff. Jesus said, come. And he started walking out to Jesus. But what happened? Verse 30 of Matthew 14. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, saying, Lord, save me. You see, the circumstances do not determine faith. Faith is believing the promise of God in spite of the circumstances. So many times we judge what God is doing by the circumstances. So many times he's doing the opposite of the circumstances. Faith is trusting God. Faith is overcoming the circumstances. How many examples do we have in the scripture? How many examples do we have in life? How many examples do we have? We're getting ready for the Super Bowl. Well, how many examples in sports of people that overcame great obstacles? And how many times the team that was predicted to win ended up losing because they were overconfident? And the up-and-coming team with all the faith and courage, they were just foolish enough to believe. And so Satan wants to sift us by bringing in these circumstances and allowing us to get sidetracked by the circumstances. Listen, God's will never depends on the circumstances. And then the third way he does this is, first of all, self-deception. Second of all, looking at the circumstances. Or we could say, looking at ourselves, looking at the circumstances, and then looking at others. Now, this is common. This is common. We do this all the time. We often like to feel justified for not doing what God's called us to do because we observe others that aren't doing what we think God has called them to do. Now, there's a classic passage, you may be familiar with it, in John chapter 21. This is after Jesus arose from the dead. And again, it's Peter. Peter still has to learn the lesson. And Peter's sitting there with Jesus, and Jesus is telling Peter, follow me. And Peter did exactly what we all did. John 21:21. Peter, seeing him, John, he's seeing John, I'll fill in the context, said to Jesus, But Lord, what about this man? So what Peter is saying, okay, Lord, you want me to follow you, but is John going to follow you? And Jesus said, if he sits here, follow me. In other words, what I've called you to do is not dependent on what others do. And it is, you know, it was a blessing yesterday to have all the men and hung the sheetrock, and we had a good amount out helping, and that's an encouragement. That's a blessing. We want that. We want more people. So I'm not saying it's unimportant to encourage each other and to be present and to help one another. We need godly examples, and it is an encouragement. But when it comes down to it, you have your faith in God. And you have to go on, even when you're hurt or discouraged by others. And sometimes, God allows that. Because he wants you to put your faith in him, not in others. It's kind of one of those sad realities. We don't want that to happen, but it happens and God allows it. But it also is a way God strengthens our own faith and really comes back to, Lord, examine me. Try my heart. Search me. Why am I allowing this person to discourage my faith? Why am I allowing others that pull back to keep me from going forward? Lord, help me to see you. Help me to see your purpose in what you want me to do. I've met many people that always point back to somebody that stopped them from serving God. I don't know if that'll hold up when we stand before Jesus. I don't think it will. Yes, it's difficult, but ultimately, Jesus is more powerful than man. And Jesus is praying for our faith. You know, Peter, that self-confidence, that self-love. Listen, think about this. Jesus said to him, what did he say? You will deny me. And what did Peter say? Nope. So what was Peter denying? He was denying the prophecy. He was denying what Jesus said. Jesus said, you'll deny me three times. Peter said, not me, Lord. I'm going to die with you. I'll be on the the cross right next to you. But Jesus said, you won't. You'll deny me. So think about this. Peter's self-confidence caused him to believe himself and not to believe the scriptures. And so as Christians, if we're going to mature, we have to be grounded in, our faith is grounded in the scriptures. That's where the faith is. And so Jesus said, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. Now, Peter's faith didn't fail. It grew. I don't have time. Read 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter's faith did not fail. It grew. Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is interceding for us. Jesus is for us to succeed. Jesus does not want us to stumble, but even if we stumble, he wants our heart to be changed. That's the goal. Peter's heart was changed. Peter's life became different. He became a better apostle. And the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people turned to Jesus. Why? Because there was a process that God had to work. It was a sifting process. It was not easy. It was not difficult. I mean, it was difficult. But he wanted Peter to understand that even in his tender pleadings for him to listen, and even though he didn't, he says, I'm praying for you, Peter. I'm praying for you. It's a story of a man that was shipwrecked, and he reached this uninhabited island, and he had this small hut and gathered whatever possessions he could find from the shipwreck, and he was constantly praying and scanning the horizon for a ship. And one day when he was out searching for food, he came back and his whole hut was engulfed in flames. Everything was destroyed. And he was totally discouraged. Desperate. And the next day, he looks out and there's a ship coming to save him. And they said, we were passing by, we saw the flames. You see, in what we call, like if God's sovereign, does the word tragedy exist? What we call a tragedy, God actually used for the salvation of this man. Satan is asking for us tonight. He's asking to destroy us. And he uses our own self-confidence, looking at ourselves. He uses circumstances, looking at the circumstances. He uses others, looking at others. But he's also prayed for us. If we would just pray this prayer, in those moments of, maybe we don't even see it. Maybe we don't even understand it. We just pray this prayer. Get maybe off the grid for a few minutes. A little bit of quiet. Examine me, O Lord. And prove me. Try my mind and my heart. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness this morning and for all that you're doing. Lord, we like the victories, Lord. And Lord, we don't like the defeats. But Lord, even with Peter, his temporary defeat was a victory in many ways. And help us to have a better perspective of what you're doing in our lives, that failure isn't failure. It's a growth step. It's the way you're working in our lives. Maybe we're thinking we're a failure when you're in your gracious hand is working to change our heart. Lord, examine our hearts, change our hearts. Conform our hearts to be conformed to your image, that we may love and honor you. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You come as we sing. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. Maybe you need to be saved. You need a new heart. Salvation is all about. Maybe there's something that's burdening you. Maybe you thought you were a failure, but God was just working. I think you failed. All these three steps, all of us have fallen at one time or another. But Jesus is still